grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of glory and love, peace comes from you alone. Send us as peacemakers and witnesses to your kingdom, and fill our hearts with joy in your promises of salvation. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 66th chapter. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dangled on her knees. As the mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your body shall flourish like the grass, and it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and his inclination is against his enemies. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 66 responsively. Be joyful in God, all you lands. Sing the glory of his name. Sing the glory of his praise.
Thank you, God. How awesome are your deeds. Because of your great strength, your enemies cringe before you.
All the earth bows down before you. Sing to you. Sing out your name.
Come now and see the works of God, how wonderful he is to do his work for all people.
He turned the sea into dry land, so that they went through the water on foot, and there we rejoiced in him.
In his mighty mind he rules forever, his eyes keep watch over the nations, let no rebel rise up against him.
Bless our God, you peoples, make the voice of his praise to be heard. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, the 6th chapter. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time, if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand? It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised only, that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so you may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet, know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, from the looks of your clothing, it doesn't seem like too many people need to be reminded that it's the 4th of July. For most people, this means that there will be a picnic this afternoon and fireworks tonight and a day off tomorrow with no garbage pickup and no mail delivery. But what does it mean for us as a Christian community? What does it mean for us as a family of faith gathered on a Sunday morning? It was 228 years ago that we declared that we are an independent nation, a sovereign people. Some of you probably memorized some of the words of the Declaration of Independence when you were in school. Do you remember these famous words? "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The Declaration of Independence continues with a long list of complaints and causes for this desired separation, and the Declaration ends with these words: "We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name
and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The people of the 13 colonies rallied around these words. The Declaration of Independence was from the rule and the authority of the British. The Declaration of Independence was also a declaration of dependence. The drafters of this document and the peoples of the colony declared in this statement their dependence upon God and their dependence upon one another. They were very much aware that God was watching them, that God was their protector. They based their arguments for freedom on God's natural order. We are created free. The authority behind these words that we celebrate today on the 4th of July, the authority for these words comes from God. The founders of this nation needed God's authority to declare their dependence, their independence. Isn't it interesting? Our independence from the tyranny of one nation is dependent upon our dependence upon God. It's a great circle. We are independent because we are dependent. Did you hear the words of dependence in the scripture today? That first reading from the prophet Isaiah, we get this wonderful image of a great, huge mother on whom we can all depend. A woman so big that she makes our Statue of Liberty look so small. Isaiah's image of a nursing mother big enough that an entire nation could be held on her lap. A generous mother, so generous that she can feed all the peoples of the world. A joy-filled mother, bouncing the planet and all its people on her knees. The prophet's image of that nation is that of the mother of exile, and a woman of hope for all of those who have been imprisoned, alienated, expelled, deported, or oppressed. That image from the prophet Isaiah is one of the rare glimpses that we get from our Bible of the image of God as a mother, as well as a father, the image that we are so very familiar with. This image that Isaiah paints for us as a God who cares for her people. God says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. When I read that passage, thinking of preaching on the 4th of July, my mind immediately went to the Statue of Liberty, that image that we have for our mother of a nation. And I thought that maybe this would be a day to look not only at our independence, but at our dependence as well. Not only at our patriotism, but at our matriotism. I think I just made that word up this week. I'm not sure, but I think we talk about being patriotic, talking about independence and liberty. But today, with this scripture, it pulls us to think of ourselves as matriotic, to look at ourselves as dependent on that comforting lap of the mother who is God. The Emma Lazarus stanza that's printed on the Statue of Liberty sounds like the words from scripture that we heard this morning. On the Statue of Liberty, the words are, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Or, like Isaiah says, I will call you home. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Can you see a connection? This is a declaration of dependence. We depend on God to provide all that we need, from our freedom to our home, from our very breath to our deepest heart's desires. Jesus sent out the 70 disciples with the news that this reliable, dependable God was near. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the message that we are sent out to share. We, who are the disciples of Jesus Christ today, in this place, at this time, we are sent out as disciples with that same message. The kingdom of God is near. Rejoice. Your name is written in heaven. The story of the disciples being sent out reminds us just how dependent they were supposed to be. They were to take no provisions or to let making the arrangements distract them from their job of proclaiming the kingdom of glory, the kingdom of God. This story is another declaration of dependence. But here's the twist. God is dependent on us to carry God's word to the people. And we are dependent on God for the power and the authority to do these things. God depends on us to carry that word of truth, that word that we are dependent on God, to the world. It's a nice arrow back and forth. A link between us and God. A link between dependence and dependence. God is depending on you to carry that message to the world. And we depend on God for the power and the authority to do that, to carry that word. The disciples trusted Jesus. A close reading of the Declaration of Independence tells us that the colonists trusted God. You and I trust God, too. We remember that we are dependent upon God, and God will use us to make fireworks happen in our lives. I love that image when the 70 came back and Jesus said, they were all excited, and Jesus said, yes, I saw fireworks. I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Tonight, when you're watching the fireworks and the oohs and ahs, let your heart also say the message that God is sending you out to proclaim. The kingdom of God is near. Boom. The kingdom of God is near. Boom. That is what those fireworks remind us, that we are dependent on God for the power and authority to go out and tell the good news, that the kingdom of God is at hand. With all the talk of independence in our world today, I think that sometimes we forget our declaration of dependence. In being washed in the waters of baptism, in reaching out our hands to receive the bread and wine of a Holy Communion, in bowing our heads and hearing the words of absolution prayed over us, we are stating our dependence on God, our reliance on our comforting, consoling mother. In standing together in prayer and fellowship in this Christian community, we are stating our dependence on one another and on God. We are remembering our promise to work together by God's authority, to build up God's kingdom, to tear down the barriers that prevent God's kingdom from being built up, to share God's love. This is our Christian work. This is the work that God has given us to do. And we are sent out to do that work, to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand, and to witness to the freedom of that kingdom. Not a freedom from the tyranny of the British government, like the colonial people were fighting for, but there is still tyranny in our world, and we are sent to witness against it. There is still racism and discrimination hiding all around us. There are still people who are sick with illness and disease who need something from us in terms of prayer and consolation, compassion. There is still hunger and poverty and injustice. There is still sin in the world. We cannot be complacent and only talk about independence when there is so much to do. But most of all, we rejoice that our names are written in heaven. We rely on God, who is our mother, the mother of comfort and care. We rely on God, who is our father of liberty and justice. And we rejoice that we are dependent. So let me wish you a happy Independence Day and a happy Dependence Day. Amen.